Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't it so good to know that no matter what situation we encounter, whatever thing that we have, whatever challenges that we have, God is always there with us, and he's right there by our side. Amen. Well, welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I'm going to be teaching a special series over the next two Sundays dealing with an issue that is probably, arguably, one of the most controversial topics in prophetic ministry right now, and that's basically the whole issue of sowing a seed for a prophecy, or as some people would like to say it almost facetiously, paying for a prophecy. And let me just put this all in context by saying, first, I really don't like teaching on this. And not because I don't think it's biblical, I don't think that it has significance, but only because me as a prophet, for me, sometimes I feel like when I teach on topics like this, that people could actually construe it like basically I'm teaching this stuff because I'm trying to raise an offering, or I'm teaching this because I'm trying to get money out of people. And me, along with I'm sure you and countless other people that are listening or who support my ministry, I'm sure all of you have at one time or another had, you know, been faced, unfortunately, with an issue where you felt like you were being forced to give money, or you're being, your arm was being twisted to support ministry. And that's not anything that I ever want to do. And so that's why sometimes I don't really like teaching this. However, everyone else that I thought that was qualified to teach on this topic, nobody else is teaching on it. They either just going on like nothing has happened, or they're prophets like me who they just continue to get beat up by other people. And when I say beat up, I'm saying that figuratively. You know, people writing mean articles, or people that they post very mean and malicious things on our social media pages and things of that nature, which is something I never understood anyway, because, you know, people that I theologically don't agree with, I don't follow their pages. I don't get on their pages. I don't understand. That is something very odd to me that I'm still trying to get used to, is how people, they theologically agree with you, or they don't agree with you in how you do things, and then they follow you on Twitter and other social media pages, and then they write mean comments. It's like, you know, I don't get it. I'm like, if you don't like me, or if you don't like what I do, why do you follow me, and why do you come on my page? I don't know. It's just very, very, very odd, very, very strange phenomenon that we're dealing with now with social media. But nevertheless, so a lot of us prophets are being quiet, or are we just going on with our consensus of majority, and we aren't saying anything about it. Now, let me also say this too, because I need to put all this stuff in context before I start teaching this. 90% to 95% of the people that respond to me, either through social media, through phone calls, or through emails, everything that they say is very, very positive. You know, mostly they share with me that they've been blessed by the ministry, they've received some type of confirmation from the prophetic word that I've given, or they've been blessed by my ministry in some way, form, or fashion. So I don't want you to think that, you know, there's a majority of people that are sending me mean comments, because it's not. The majority of the people who follow me and comment are very supportive. They understand the prophetic, they're hungry for the prophetic, and they have a great respect for my ministry and what I do. But then there's another percentage of people who mostly have been taught wrong. Most of this bad teaching has come from, and I want to say this in context too, I'm not throwing pastors under the bus. I love pastors. I have a pastor. I am a pastor, so I don't want to get the impression like I'm against pastors. But majority of people, a lot of people who are strongly against us are people who also sit as pastors, and there's reasons why they disagree with sowing seeds for ministry that really don't have anything to do with the Bible. So I'm going to go through the scripture tonight and sequentially go through what the scripture has to say about quote-unquote paying for prophecies. And I'll even explain that later because I really don't think you can pay for a prophecy. I mean, how do you quantify the word of the Lord? You know, what's it worth? You know, $5, $50, $5,000, $1,000,000, you know, that prophetic word is valuable to the person that receives it and valuable to the extent that they receive the prophetic word. So I don't think that we can literally put a price tag on a prophecy, or we can arbitrarily say how much a prophecy is worth. You know, I definitely will say that I think any prophetic word that you receive from a real prophet is worth more than what I charge, $27. I think you know what I'm asking for a prophetic word is a lot less than what it's actually worth and the benefit that you're getting. However, I want to teach this for two reasons. One, I'm writing a book on this, and you guys will be the people who get to hear this teaching first. And I'm going to write a book on this whole topic so that we can just ban these taboos, you know. And that's the first reason why I'm teaching. And the second reason I'm teaching this for you, I would venture to say that probably the majority, if not 100% of the people who are listening right now, you believe in the prophetic. You have no issues with sowing a seed for a prophetic word. It's not a problem to you. So, you know, in that sense, I might be preaching to the choir. But I do want to share this because I want you to spiritually and scripturally understand where I'm coming from, so that when you're talking to friends and family and people that nature, they don't talk you out of your blessing. You know, you receive a prophetic word from me or another prophet, and then you get blessed by the prophetic word. You go share it with one of your friends and your family members, and they start beating you down. Well, you weren't supposed to be paying for that prophecy, and that's evil, and he's fake, and he's a fake prophet, and he's a false prophet, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, let me say this too, and this is not really even on my teaching, but I truly do believe that term false prophet is way overused. You know, in the Bible, and it's very misunderstood. You know, in the Bible, false prophecy had nothing to do with the accuracy of a prophecy. Did you know that? When you look at the examples of people that were called false prophets, in particular, I think of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Balaam is, you know, is referred to as a false prophet. But did you know that when you look at all of the scriptures, when you go from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you know, there's a messianic prophecy in every book of the Bible. And did you know that the only messianic prophecy that is given in the book of Numbers comes from Balaam? And yet the scripture, both Jesus and the Old Testament refers to Balaam as being a false prophet. And yet he gave an accurate prophetic messianic prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, so that's one thing we have to understand, is that the accuracy of a prophecy doesn't have anything to do with whether someone's a false prophet or not. False prophets are people who manipulate people or try to control people, try to get them to do things for some type of financial or power gain. You know, that's what that is. But when I ask for a seed, you know, for a prophecy, you know, it's your choice. You know, if you don't want to sow, you don't have to. I'm not manipulating anybody. If you don't want to sow, you don't have to. And, you know, when you look on my website, you'll notice that I clearly state, you know, this $27 that you're sowing is not paying for a prophecy. But this $27 is used for me to pay for my radio ministry. I have an international radio ministry that goes all throughout the United States and in Africa. I'm on in 5 countries in Africa, and my radio bill runs about $500 to $600 a month. And so that seed that you sold for that $27 for the price of that suggested donation, I use that to pay my radio bill. And so that's what that's all about. And you may say, well, Brother Kyle, why don't you believe God, you know, and you just ask people to give? And the unfortunate thing is, sadly, is that most people don't give. Most people haven't been taught how to give. They don't understand anything about supporting ministry or supporting prophetic ministry. And so most people don't give. You know, when I was, this is my second time being on the radio. I was on the radio in the early 2000s. I was on for at least 8 years. I had a radio show that ran from 2005 to 2012. Yeah, 2005 to 2012. And in that whole time, I think I may have received about maybe $700 in offerings. Well, my show was $40 a week. You know, that what I received wasn't enough to keep my show on. You know, I'm a prophet. I'm an itinerant minister. I don't, you know, I didn't have a congregation to take care of me. I'm beginning to pastor now, but I don't receive a salary. My church is of such, we just now planted the church. I don't receive a salary from it. So I don't have a, you know, I don't have a base ministry of people that take care of me. And unfortunately, most of the people who do, you know, listen to my ministry, you know, some give and some don't, you know, so that's why I have a suggested donation. But the truth of the matter is, anybody that sows a seed into my ministry, whether you sow a nickel or you sow $5,000, you receive a prophetic word. You know, just recently, about 2 months ago, I had someone, they took me up on my offer. I guess they wanted to see if I was real or not. They sold 2 pennies. That's right. They sold 2 pennies into my ministry. They PayPal'd me 2 pennies, 2 cents. They PayPal'd me 2 cents. And I sent them a prophecy. And that prophecy was just as long and took just as much time as you people who are faithfully support my ministry and send me seeds well over $27. And those of you who sow a seed for the $27 prophetic word, I still gave him a prophetic word. You know what's really funny? He sold 2 cents and then he had the nerve to complain about his prophecy. Isn't that funny? That's funny. So I'm saying all this in context to let you know that I'm teaching this because I want people to come into an understanding. You know, the scripture says it's the truth that we know and we understand that sets us free. The other thing that motivated me to get into this teaching is this, and I'm giving you kind of a backstory on where I'm coming from and all of this, because I've lost a lot of friends in ministry over this issue. And I've asked the Lord several times before, well, Lord, you know, should I quit asking for a seed and then just do my prophetic words for free? But I know that I can't do that because I had a website where I did prophetic ministry for free for over 2 years. And by the second year, I was receiving over 100 prophetic word requests a week. And I also have a full-time job. So there was no way that I could meet the need of all the requests. So just as much as a seed is a way for me to pay for my radio ministry, it's also a filter because there's just no way I could meet that demand of, you know, prophesying to over 100 people a week. I don't have a staff. I don't have a ministry team. I don't have prophetic sons and daughters. Now, some of my prophetic friends, you know, they started prophetic schools. And then what they do is they get their interns and stuff to do the free prophecies for them so that they can, you know, still ask for an offering to continue their ministries while also serving the people who don't have the money to give. Well, my thought was to do the blog radio show, which you're listening to now. And I would use that blog show as my opportunity for those people who can't afford to sow a seed. They could listen to my blog show and then they could request a prophetic word, you know. But saying all that to say, what happened was about a year ago, a dear friend of mine, we had been friends for over 15 years, a very, very close friend of mine who I love dearly. We came into the prophetic together. We had been friends through thick and thin. When I had met him, he had just recently lost his wife. He was living in a one room apartment, basically in what, you know, African Americans we call the hood. And he didn't have a whole lot of money. He had a job that didn't pay very much, but he was a very, very anointed prophet. And so years later, he wound up marrying a woman of means, you know, a woman that financially, you know, is doing pretty well. They fell in love and they got married, and he moved out to the East Coast, and he started a church there. So he asked me if I would. I told him, we were just talking. I said, well, hey, man, I'm going to be in the D.C. area, you know, and I want to come visit your church. And he said, well, I tell you what, why don't you come minister? And I said, okay, that sounds good. So him and his wife got together, and then they were putting together a ministry itinerary, which basically was going to be a conference. So I was going to do a two-day conference, a Friday evening, Saturday, all-day Saturday conference. Okay. And everything was going fine. We were communicating with each other. I had reached out and contacted my partners that lived in the D.C. area, which I actually have quite a few that live in the D.C. area. They were going to come out to the conference. I was going to get a chance to meet them personally and things of that nature. And it was just, everything was going really well. So when I touched down in D.C., I see like 5 messages from my friend on my phone. You know, I had my phone cut off because I was in flight. You know, they ask you to cut your phone off. So I'm like, so I see these 5 messages. I'm like, oh Lord, so what's going on? I knew something was wrong because he had left that many messages. So I called him, and he proceeds to tell me that he's canceling the conference that we've been planning for over 6 months. And he proceeds to tell me that he's canceling the conference because some of his ministry buddies that were coming to the conference, they got on my website, and they saw that I asked for a seed for a prophetic word. And then he began to tell me that he doesn't agree with that, that that's wrong, that that's evil, et cetera, et cetera. I can't come to this church, and the conference is canceled. And I think that I would not have been upset about the conference being canceled, but I think the thing that really bothered me in the whole situation was that we had been close friends for over 15 years. And it's like, so here I am. I have this close friend. We've been close prophet friends for over 15 years. And because he didn't agree theologically with me asking for a seed for a prophecy, he was willing to just basically trash the whole friendship, cancel the conference, which I could get over that, and totally trash the whole friendship as a result of it. So in all of that, I was devastated. I mean, I was just devastated. I mean, it was like, you know, a 15-year friendship just totally down the drain because theologically he did not agree with me asking a seed for a prophetic word, or what he called paying for a prophecy. Okay, so fast forward a year later, and now I've come into fellowship with another pastor and friend of mine, and turns out that he's in the same network with this prophet. And so I get a text a couple of weeks ago, and this pastor friend of mine in the fellowship that I'm with now says, you know, well, one of my parishioners has said that, you know, you're charging for prophecies. Can you explain that? And so I began to proceed scripturally where I was coming from and why my website is set up as it is. But I thought it was pretty interesting that this perspective of this pastor friend asking this came after he had come from a conference with my friend of 15 years. And I thought it was all really kind of weird and suspiciously coincidental. And so it brought me to the attention. I was like, okay, Lord, what is going on? And the Lord just began to explain to me again, Kyle, you've got to start teaching on this. So my plan is I'm going to teach this over the next couple of weeks. And afterwards, I'm generating a book. I've already contacted someone to write this, and what they're going to basically do is these teachings that I give you all are going to be transcribed into a book that I'm going to release on this topic, because it's a lot of misunderstanding as it relates to the prophetic and quote unquote paying for a prophecy, so on for prophetic words and things of that nature. So just kind of put everything in a scriptural context. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 19 and 15, familiar scripture. I always like to lay it out, put it in scripture, because I want to show you biblically where I'm coming from. So that way, when you get challenged from your friends and your family, and they say, you know, Prophet Kyle is a false prophet, or Prophet Kyle is false, or that's wrong, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to give you some scriptural evidence to show you where I'm biblically coming from. Now, what's interesting is a lot of times when I present this information to people, people who are not open to hear, they'll say, okay, well, Brother Kyle, I hear what you're saying. You know, I hear these scriptures, but I still don't think it's right. Okay. So then basically what that person is telling me is that they really would rather exalt their opinion over the word of God. But those of you who are listening to me now, I think you're people that you have hearts to hear. You have hearts to hear, ears to hear, and you basically want to know biblically what the scripture says. So if you're interested in knowing what the Bible says, you know, not all this religious stuff that pastors have taught, because basically they didn't want their parishioners taking their money out of their churches, because that's why a lot of pastors preach this. Then this may not be the teaching for you, but if you really want to move ahead with God and you want to hear what the Spirit of God says about sowing a seed for prophecy, I'm gonna make it clear to you, because it's all throughout the Bible, you know. And I ask people, I say, well, when they come to me and they say, well, Kyle is wrong, it's evil, you shouldn't be asking people to sow a seed for the prophecy, I ask them, I always say, what is your scriptures? What is your scriptures? And the only scripture that they can ever tell me is from John 10, freely have you ever received, freely have you given. And that's not even the context of what that scripture is talking about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share that tonight, what that scripture means. It's really going to shock you. And it's probably going to make a lot of preachers mad, because it's not even talking about prophecy. It's talking about charging honorariums, you know, and that's another topic. I don't charge honorariums. I don't. When people ask me to come to their church, I pray and I ask the Lord, am I supposed to go? And then if he tells me that I'm supposed to go, then I go. And I will typically ask the churches, do you have money, you know, for traveling expenses? Some of them say yes. If they do, then they take care of my traveling expenses for me to get there. Some of them say no. Then I'm like, okay, well, then I'm just going to believe God for the money to get there. and that's what happens. You know, I went to Africa last year. I paid my whole, you know, that was about $3,000 up front. I paid all my travel expenses myself. I'll be in New Hampshire next month. I'm paying all my traveling expenses myself, because God has told me to go. I don't really see anywhere in the Bible where it said it shows that it's biblical to ask for honorariums. I don't charge an honorarium, because the Bible is pretty clear in saying that we're not supposed to. And I'm going to show that in the scripture, too. That's what that John chapter 10 scripture is talking about. So this teaching is going to be an eye-opener for you, because you're going to probably hear some things you've never heard before. But first, starting in Deuteronomy 19 and 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And one translation says, out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So basically what that says is when we're building doctrine, or we're building biblical understanding of things, what we want to do is find scripture that supports what we say. And typically anything that's in the Bible, in order for us to have an accurate understanding of it, we should see at least two, three or more witnesses. Okay. So with that being said, I'm going to show you five different witnesses, actually six different witnesses, of where the scripture talks about sowing seed for prophecy. The first one is at 1 Samuel 9, 3 through 8. 1 Samuel 9, 3 through 8. And if you're listening, you may want to get you a pen and paper and jot some notes. I will be opening up the phone lines after this teaching, and I will be prophesying to people. Let me give you that number, 347-996-3442, 347-996-3442. is a number that you can call in, and I'll be opening up the phone lines ministering to people prophetically. Okay, so my first scripture, 1 Samuel 9:3-8. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses or donkeys. And he passed through Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishiza, if I pronounced that right. But they found him not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not there. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found him not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the donkeys and take thought for us. And he said to him, that's the servant, behold, now there is the city, a man of God, and he's an honorable man, and all that he saith comes surely to pass. Now let's go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. So basically the servant is telling Saul, hey, let's go find the prophet. The prophet will tell us where the donkey is, you know, and prophets are still doing that today, helping people identify things or asking questions. That's one of the things I do, you know, with my prophetic phone calls, you know, or in prophetic counseling. People ask me questions about the Holy Spirit. The Lord will speak to me and give me the answers to their questions. Okay, verse 7. And then said Paul to his servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? So in other words, Saul is saying, you know, how are we going to go to the prophet? We don't have anything to give him. So that's pretty clear. It shows us in Scripture that the understanding was whenever you went to the prophet, you always came with something to give. You know, and that's pretty clear right there in the Scripture. That's what the Scripture is saying right there, that whenever you come to the prophet, you should come with the desire to have something to give. You know, so people get into this whole issue, or should I be sowing for a prophecy, paying for a prophecy, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth of the matter is I think what we really should be looking more at is our heart condition when we come to the prophet. When we come to the prophet, do we come with the intentions to bless the minister of God? Okay, verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here a hand, the fourth part of a shekel of silver, that will I give the man of God to tell us our way. So what is Saul's servant saying? He's saying, hey, I've got a half, a fourth part of a shekel of silver. I will give the prophet this seed, and then the prophet is going to tell us where the donkey is. Okay, so that's our first example of where we see in the Bible someone sowing a seed for a prophetic word. He clearly gave the Saul's servant had a half shekel of silver. He took that directly to the prophet and gave it to the prophet so the prophet could give him an answer as to where the donkey is. Now, when you study further down in Saul, in Samuel 9, you'll see that that's how Saul was identified and anointed as king. But also too, Samuel the prophet also told Saul where the donkey was, you know, after he sowed the seed. So that's our first example of where we see a seed was sown for a prophetic word. So, and guys, listen, please, 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 please understand. I am not teaching this because I'm trying to get more money out of folks. You know, God has blessed me. God continually blesses me through people like you who believe in the prophetic ministry. This is not a teaching for me to try to drum up an offer. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to show you biblically what the Scripture says so that when you're challenged on these things, you know what you're talking about, and if people won't get you all into this religious foolishness that they're basically – they have no Scripture to stand on. Okay, 2 Samuel 8:9. Now remember, we said out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Okay, here's the second witness. This is a 2 Samuel 8:9. We're talking about quote unquote paying for prophecy. 2 Samuel 8:9. I think that's actually 7. So we're gonna start at verse 7 and then go through 9. So let's say 2 Samuel 8:7-9. Okay. Then Elijah came to Damascus. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, was sick, and it was told him, saying, the man of God has come here. the king said to Hazael, take a gift in your hand and go to meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, will I recover from this sickness? So Hazael went to meet him and took a gift in his hand, even every kind of good thing of Damascus, 40 camels load. And he came and stood before him and said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, has sent me to you, saying, will I recover from this sickness? So again, here we go, another example. Ben-Hadad, he was wanting to know if he was going to get better. And so he spoke to Hazael, his servant, and gave him some money and told him, go ask the prophet, am I going to get better? And he gave him money, and the servant then sowed that seed into the prophet's ministry to find out the answer as to whether he was going to get healed or not. So, okay, so that's example two. Now, remember we said in Deuteronomy, out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Okay, that's your second example. Okay, here go a third example. God goes exceedingly abundantly. 2 Kings 4:42. 2 Kings 4:42. We're talking about, quote unquote, is it biblical to pay for prophecy? Obviously, again, like I said, you can't pay for a prophetic word. What type of amount would you put on it? What do you quantify as a price for a prophetic word? However, we do see time and time again in the scripture that when people needed an answer from the Lord or they needed a prophetic word from the Lord, they sold it. They came to the prophet with a gift. And again, like I said before, is the question really, should we be paying for prophecy, or really should the question be, what do we have in our hand to give the prophet when we come and seek the prophet for ministry? Okay, 2 Kings 4:42. And there came a man from Baal-Shisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Okay, so this is a scripture talking about how this man came with his first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn. And he came to the prophet, saying, you know, hey, I'm bringing this to the prophet so that I can receive a word from the Lord. Okay, so we said out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We already see three witnesses of where people gave money to the prophet in order to receive a prophetic word. Now, let me make some points about this. Okay, Saul paid the prophet Saul for a prophetic word. Behold, I have here at the hand the fourth part of the shekel of silver that I will give the man of God to tell us our way. And that's in 1 Samuel 9:8. Okay. Then Jeroboam paid the prophet Ahijah for a prophetic word. That was 1 Kings 14:4-5. I hope y'all are writing these scriptures down. 1 Kings 14:4-5. Take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child. That's 1 Kings 14:4-5. Okay. Then third example. Ben-Hadad paid the prophet Elijah for a prophetic word. So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him. So I've given you three scriptures, 1 Samuel 9:8, 1 Kings 14:4-5, 2 Kings 8:9. Those are all examples of where people gave money to receive prophetic words. So basically, you know, for people to have the context that it's evil to sow a seed for a prophecy, they basically would have to skip around or just blatantly twist God's word and just not agree with the obvious fact that the people of ancient Israel and Judah actually sowed seeds for prophetic words. I mean, I've given you three examples right there. Three examples. Now, some of you, I can hear you now. You can say, oh, but that was Old Testament. We're now in the New Testament. Okay, well, let me build that. Okay, one of the things that some pastors and ministers teach, and it's mostly from past pastoral ministry, but I've heard it from others as well. They'll say, well, you know, you don't need a prophecy. You can hear God for yourself. Okay, well, okay, so I hear you, and yes, we should be hearing God for ourselves, and we should all be able to hear the Lord for ourselves because God has given us the Holy Spirit. So yes, that I do agree with. But if, in fact, we did not need prophecies, then why would Apostle Paul list that as one of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know, if we didn't need prophecy and all we had to do was hear God for ourselves, then why would God label that and clearly identify prophecy as one of the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And then secondly, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. So the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that we should even be desiring the gift of prophecy. So that whole premise that you don't need prophecy because you can hear God for yourself, then why would God list both in 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, the significant ministry of prophecy? And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. So the Lord says, not only should we be prophesying and receiving prophecy, but that we should be praying to God that we actually receive a prophetic gift so that we can prophesy to each other. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So guys, I'm giving you Bible, you know. People will come in and they'll tell you all this stuff out of their opinions or what they taught or what their pastor told them or what Reverend so-and-so said. But I'm showing you clearly from the Bible what the scripture says. Okay, so then people say, okay, we don't need prophecy. The other argument they'll say is, oh, well, we don't, what do we need a prophet for? You can be your own prophet. You can hear God for yourself. Okay, I feel you. Okay, but well, then why did in Ephesians, God says that God set first in the church apostles, secondarily prophets. So if we didn't need prophets, then why did God set in the church apostles and then prophets? And then in the fivefold ministry scripture, I think that's in Ephesians chapter 5, God says God set in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So that's all New Testament. So God has put in the church the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So God has put the fivefold ministry gifts in the church. The fivefold ministers are supposed to equip the believers or the lay ministers or whatever term you want to give to those people who are not fivefold ministry gifts. And then they are supposed to then do the work of the ministry. So people say we don't need prophecy, but then 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 lists prophecy so much so that in 1 Corinthians 14, the scripture says that we should covet to prophesy. I looked up that word covet. That word covet means to long after, to eagerly desire, to lust after. It says that we should be, have you ever thought about that? That we should be lusting to prophesy. That's what the scripture says. Look it up. Get your lexicon out. Get your Strong's Concordance out. To long after, to eagerly desire, to lust after, that we should be lusting to prophesy. Okay, I'm just gonna let you think about it. I'm gonna let you think about it, because we hear all this stuff, and then you hear these preachers, and they'll say, we don't need prophets. We don't need prophets. You can hear God for yourself. Well, okay. So then I guess we can teach ourselves too, and we can pastor ourselves, we can evangelize ourselves. But the scripture says, how shall they be saved unless there's a preacher? Somebody got to preach them. Somebody got to teach them. Somebody got to prophesy. So we see that that's not really strong doctrine. It's not accurate doctrine. It's not even biblical. So, guys, we got to go on with the Bible. We got to go with what the Bible says. Let's put down all this religious crap, all the stuff that we've been taught, because this is what I decided to do. Now, let me share something with you, even how I got into all this point. I have been prophesying for probably about 10 years. And so it's now the early 2000s. And so one of my friends, and I've told the story before on some of my other teachings. One of my friends, she comes to me and she says, oh, I received this prophecy from Bishop so-and-so, and she said, I sold a seed for it. And so I was just like everybody else. I ripped her up one way and down the other, and I told her how unbiblical it was, and she wasn't supposed to be sowing for, you know, she wasn't supposed to be giving no money for no, or paying for no prophecy, because that's wrong, and that's not biblical, et cetera, et cetera. And just basically went off on her. And so, but I had the conversation with her, and God just wouldn't let it go. So, interestingly, one night I had fallen asleep with the TV on. I woke up in the middle of the night, and lo and behold, who was on the TV? Bishop so-and-so. I'm not going to name his name. Bishop so-and-so. And He talked about, hey, if you call this number, you know, I'll send you free prophecy in the mail. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then the Lord just quickened me and said, well, if it's phony, you'll know it. So what do you have to lose? Call him. So I'm like, okay. So I called and, you know, didn't really think much about it. And about 3 or 4 days later, I get this letter in the mail. And so in the letter, it's, you know, it talked about, you know, basically the letter just basically read my mail. The prophecy talked about how I was called into prophetic ministry and that a lot of my wealth was going to come through the arts. And let me share something with you. You know, this was early 2000s. This was before Google blew up. This was before the whole internet phenomenon. It wasn't like he could just get online and Google me and see what I was doing and then give me a prophecy. And that was something that no way he would have known it except by the Lord. Well, the truth of the matter was when I received that prophecy, I had just written my first play. And some of you who know, I'm also in the arts. I write film and television scripts, and I have movies and television and also plays that I produce. I have a business in the arts. And so there was no way that he could have known that except by the Holy Spirit, because he couldn't have got on Google and Googled me. So because I didn't have anything on Google, and Google wasn't even what it is today. So I'm like, okay. So it was no way I could deny that the word was from the Lord. So then that began to puzzle me. And I said, okay, Lord, so what I want you to do, God, is show me what your word says. And guys, that's exactly what we have to do. When we're confronted with truth, let's throw out all of the religious stuff that we've been taught, and let's go on with God with what the scripture says. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You know, and so I began to do a study. This study took several years, but as I began to do the study, I began to see what the Bible said about giving and sowing for prophetic words. You know, so we argue and we say, well, should we be paying for prophecies? And my argument is this: I don't think the argument should we be paying for prophecies. The argument should be, what should we have to bring when we come before the prophet? You know, what should we have to bring when we come before the prophet? Whenever I come before a prophet, I always sow a seed. I always sow a seed, you know. So we talk about New Testament, you know, because some of you may say, okay, well, Brother Kyle, you gave me all these examples, but that's our Old Testament. That's the law. That's the law. Okay, so I'm going to show you from the New Testament. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9 and 14. We're talking about sowing a seed for prophecy. Now, remember, we said out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I've already given you four scriptural examples of where people sow seeds for a prophetic word, okay? 1 Corinthians 9 and 14. 1 Corinthians 9 and 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9 and 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel. So what that scripture is saying is if you preach the gospel, then you should live from the gospel. So how are you going to live from the gospel if people don't give to you? Now, another argument that people will say is, well, Brother Kyle, I don't have any problem in giving, but I don't think it's right for you to have a predetermined amount before I give. Okay, well, I understand that. Well, anybody who gives to my ministry receives a prophetic word. If you give $5, you give $2, you give $10, you give $15. That's what the Lord told me to do. The Lord told me, Kyle, I want you to establish a ministry. I want you to establish a nonprofit. Anybody that sows a seed into your ministry receives a prophetic word. That's what God told me to do. You know, so I'm going to keep doing that because that's what God told me to do. Anybody that sows into my ministry, the Lord has told me that I'm supposed to give them a prophetic word. That's just like if you sow to Daystar, you sow to TBN, you sow to the Word Network, you sow to Impact, any God TV, whatever. If you notice, anytime you sow a seed, they give you a gift back as a thank you. Well, that's my gift back. If you sow into my ministry, I give you a prophecy. Okay, so that's that. Another scripture, Galatians 6 and 6. So I'm giving you some New Testament examples. Now, we said out of every two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I've now given you five examples, five scriptures that talk about sowing and giving and receiving ministry, okay? Galatians 6:6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. I'm going to read that again, Galatians 6:6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers. I'm going to read it one more time. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers. What is that talking about? That's talking about money. That's saying that if someone is ministering to you, then you should sow seeds into their ministry. You know, and I don't know where the church got this whole thing that, well, you know, God loves me and everything should be free. That's not what the Bible says. It says that those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers. Who would you receive a blessing from and then you wouldn't give back to them? That's selfish. You know, so some people, they'll argue me, they'll say, well, you know, maybe, you know, you should ask for the seed after they sow. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay, two reasons why I don't do it that way. Because, you know, a lot of ministries do that. What they'll do is they'll take your questionnaire of what you want to receive a prophecy about, and then immediately after you submit your questionnaire, they'll send you the option to give. Okay. Well, my view is this: if you have, to me, it doesn't really matter if you sowed the seed before or after you received the prophecy, because if you truly had a heart to give, it wouldn't matter. You know, if I have an intention to give to you, I don't care if I sow that seed before you give me the word or after. It's just like at church. You go to church, you belong to a ministry. Some pastors, they take up the offering before the word. Some people take up the prophecy afterwards. But does it really matter? If you have an intention to give to that ministry, what difference does it make if I give that seed before or if I give that seed afterwards? And another reason why I don't I request the seed before is because, sadly, a lot of people abuse prophets and prophecy, and they don't give. They don't give. You know, as I was telling you before, I had a ministry, and before I set up my system like this, I would administer prophecies for free. I was on a site where we accepted free prophecies. I did that for 2 years. Within that 2 years, I think I may have received maybe about $400 in offerings, and yet I prophesied to probably at least 5,000 people. Towards the end, I was getting over 100 prophecy requests a month. Okay, so then on the website, we put in guidelines. We told people, you know, if you receive a prophetic word from a prophet, you know, don't come back for at least 2 months. Well, then the people started breaking the rules on the website. They would request words under false names. They would request prophecies under different email addresses, and they totally abused the system. You know, they totally abused the system. And the second thing, and the reason why I can't administer prophetic words free, is I don't have the time to prophesy to over 100 people a week anymore. I don't have the time. I have a full-time job. I don't have the time. So I've asked myself, I said, well, then maybe I should just stop prophesying. But I know I'm not supposed to do that, because then that's me not ministering the way I should. Now, a lot of people, they have arguments against sowing seeds for prophecies, and they'll say, well, you know, you should be doing it at the church. You should go to the church. Well, I mean, 80 to 85% of the churches don't even believe in prophecy. I would venture to say probably 90% of you who are listening to me now, you found me and you requested ministry because your church wasn't giving prophecy. So when pastors make those comments, it's kind of like they make it with a presupposition that every church believes in prophecy and that every church is warm to the prophetic. And that's just not true. And I think many of you who are listening now, you would agree what I'm saying, that it's not true. You know, the majority of churches, as a matter of fact, are hostile. And let me put some more stuff in there. So some of you say, well, okay, well then maybe what you need to do, Kyle, is you need to just start doing conferences and traveling. Okay, Well, I'm open to that. I'm open to doing whatever God is doing. But let me tell you something. If you notice now, most prophetic conference that you're seeing now, whether you go on Elijah List or any on the internet, anything, those prophetic conferences are not being hosted by churches. Very few of those prophetic conferences are being hosted by churches. They're either prophetic ministries that are hosting prophets, or they're the prophets themselves hosting their own conferences. You know, but this whole assumption that, you know, prophets are getting rich and they're being flew in from this city into that city, that's very few, very few. You have very few vocational prophets. And when I mean vocational, I mean prophets who make their living from prophesying, because churches are not asking for prophets. You know, churches are not inviting prophets into their ministries anymore for various reasons. I'm not even going to get into. But I will say this, you know, during the recession, you know, there was a big clampdown on itinerant ministry, whether you were an evangelist or a prophet. And, you know, a lot of my prophet friends, they couldn't make a living anymore. I have prophet friends that are driving trucks, you know, teaching school, and all these things. And, you know, some people say, okay, well, then that's the prophets and they're supposed to be bivocational. Okay, well, maybe some of them are, but I don't believe all of them are. You don't hardly see any examples of bivocational prophets in the Bible. I think Amos, they said he was a farmer, but then even when God called him into full-time ministry, he made him quit farming. You know, Paul was a tent maker, so he had a little business on the side. He said he didn't want to be a burden to the people, so he worked. But most of the examples, when you see the prophets in the Bible, they were vocational. That was their full-time job. And, you know, the truth of the matter is most people these days, they don't understand giving. They don't understand that there is a financial duty to take care of prophets. Most prophets are driving trucks, teaching school, laying concrete, painting houses or whatever else they can do to pay the bills, because, you know, churches are not, you know, prior to popular belief, churches are not calling prophets to their churches, you know, like people think they are, you know. So when you see these prophets and they ask for a seed or whatever, regardless of me or what you think of me, you know, don't come down hard on them, because that might be the only way they can pay their internet bill. You know, if I didn't have the seeds that come in from the people who sow for the prophecies, I wouldn't be able to be on the radio. I would have to pull my radio show off. That's what I use to pay for my radio show. You know, so I think we all need to keep an open mind and not be so judgmental and stay out of all this religious stuff. Okay, last question, and then I'm going to open up the lines for prophecy. Okay, so some people say, okay, well, Brother Kyle, then what about that scripture? Freely you have received, freely you have given. So that means we got that gift for free. We shouldn't be charging folks for it. Okay, I'm glad you asked that. Look, turn to your Bible to Matthew 10. See, guys, I'm going to educate you tonight. I'm going to set you free from some religious mindset, because all this stuff is nothing but religion. It's not Bible. And somewhere along the way, we've got to ask ourselves, you know, do we want to know what the Bible says, or do we want to stick with religion? Matthew 10, 2 through 8. And this is God and Jesus, and he's getting ready to send out the 12 apostles. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon and the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Okay, so that's very important in itself. I was teaching on that. First, as prophets, we got to know who we call to. We're not called to minister to everybody. Different prophets have different assignments. This is where a lot of times ministers get messed up. They think, oh, I got an apostolic call, I got a prophetic call, I got a pastoral call, I can minister anywhere. Well, no, you don't. You know, Paul said it this way. He says, I may not be an apostle to others, but I know I'm an apostle to you, meaning that Apostle Paul recognized that there was a spiritual jurisdiction that he had in ministry. He wasn't called to minister to everybody. He didn't have an anointing to minister to everybody. So we see right here, Jesus, in this first initial evangelistic thrust, apostolic thrust, he gives them the instructions that he doesn't want them to go to the Gentiles yet because they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. It was a lot of other things with the Gentiles. It wasn't time for them to minister to the Gentiles. So he says, do not go among the Gentiles or in any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So he was saying, for this ministry, I'm basically called you to my covenant people, okay, the Jews. And as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely have you given. Okay, so he gives them an apostolic call, and he tells them, as you go out into this ministry, what I want you to do is I want you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Or maybe we could say today, cleanse those who have AIDS. Okay, drive out demons. So one of the first things we need to be doing as apostolic and prophetic ministries is when we go out in itinerant ministry is we need to go preaching the kingdom of heaven. And the preaching the kingdom of heaven consists of healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing those who have impure, unclean diseases, and driving out demons. So that's what our ministry needs to consist of when we travel in ministry. We need to be healing sick folks, raising the dead, cleansing folks that have AIDS and other types of sickness and diseases, and casting out demons. Okay. Then he says, freely have you received, freely give. And then when you go further in the scripture, he tells you, don't carry a stash of money with you, but those fortunate people that take you into their houses, they'll be blessed as a result of it. So what this scripture is talking about in Matthew 10 and 2, it's not talking anything about prophetic ministry, about charging for a prophecy. This scripture is actually talking about honorariums. What this scripture is saying is, when you go and you travel in ministry, you are not supposed to charge people for your services. And that's talking about in honorariums. Okay, like for instance, like I was telling you earlier, I travel to different churches. I don't charge an honorarium. I personally, if you don't have any problem with it, you go for it. I don't think it's biblical because the scripture says right here, freely have you received, freely have you give, you go as you are sent. So everywhere that I go, I don't even ask people, how much am I going to make or how much do you pay? What I do is when people come to me and they ask me, Prophet Kyle, will you come to my ministry? First thing I tell them, I say, I'll pray about it and I hear what God says. And then I convene, I get with God. God gives me the green light or the red light as to whether I should go or not. And if he gives me the green light, I then call them back and I say, hey, I'm ministering. Do you have money for travel expenses? If they tell me no, then I'm like, okay, well, God, this ministry trip is on you. You're going to pay for it. I go anyway, and God blesses me. Amen? So when you see the scripture, freely have you received and freely have you give, it's not even talking about sowing a seed for a prophecy. It's talking about traveling ministry, itinerant ministry, and charging honorariums. You're not supposed to go to a church and charge them a fee to go preach at their church. That's what that scripture is talking about. Now, interestingly, all of these people that preach on it's wrong to sow a seed for a prophecy, all of them charge honorariums. They charge fees. You know, if they're invited to your church, if you invite them to their church, they're going to say, okay, my fee is this, and that's what they charge. The scripture says right here in Matthew 10, 2 through 8, we're not supposed to do that. It says freely have you received, freely as you give, so you're still supposed to continue to go to that ministry. The thing is, if God told you to go, if God has told you to go, you're not supposed to charge to go to that church. You let the people be led on what they're going to give you, and, you know, I'll ask people for expenses. If they don't have the money for the expenses, for instance, I have a ministry engagement coming up next month. They're small churches. They don't have money for the expenses. But God told me to go. So what am I going to do? I'm going to come back to them and tell them, well, no, I'm not going to minister in your church because you don't have the money to bring me. No, that's demonic. That's demonic. So I don't – no. You see what I'm saying? So we need to understand what the Bible says about things. We need to say what the Bible says. So we see from these scripture examples, I've given you – six examples of where people sowed seeds for prophetic words, because the understanding in biblical culture is you don't come before the prophet empty-handed. Now, are there times when people ask me for a prophetic word and I don't have the money and I prophesy to them anyway? Absolutely. I do it every day. I do it every day. Do I have other methods by which people can receive free prophetic words who can't afford to sow? Absolutely. This blog show that you're listening to now, I don't charge a dime for, and I will usually prophesy at least to five people every blog show. See what I'm saying? So I have mechanisms in place for people who can still receive prophetic ministry. Somebody said, well, you charge for prayer. I don't charge for prayer. If you go on my website, you'll see a tab that says prayer. You can go to that tab, put your prayer requests in, and I will pray over your needs. So I don't charge for prayer, so I just want us to come into this biblical understanding. And so when you get this flack from people, you know, who basically are, entrenched in religion, and you get this flack from them, you know, send them a copy of this show. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Prophet Kyle T. Miller. You can download my shows. Send them a copy of this show, and hopefully it'll bring them into a correct understanding of what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines. 347-996-3442. 347-996-3442. Hello, this is Prophet Kyle. Last four digits, 0065. You are live and on the air.
How do I do it? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Were you blessed by the show tonight?
Yes. Yes, I did tune in a little late, but I did receive a lot of knowledge. So thank you for sharing.
Good. Good, good. What's something that you learned?
Well, I learned the difference when you was talking about giving an honorarium and actually coming to the prophet with a gift. When you come before the prophet,
exactly,
you should come with a gift in hand.
Exactly.
And when you're just giving honor to someone, you want to bless them for them even coming into your presence. So you just give them a blessing with an honorarium. So I did appreciate
Amen.
The lesson. That.
Amen. 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 Thank you. So what's your name? Where are you calling from? And how can I help you?
My name is Sharina. I'm calling from Staten Island, New York. And I just
okay.
need some direction for my life.
Your name is Sheena?
Sharina.
Sharina. Okay. Heavenly Father,
yes.
I thank you, Lord, for Sharina. And Sharina, the Lord says, move forward and not behind. For the past is buried with it, many memories, some good, some not so good. But the Lord says, I'm taking you into a whole new place in me. So the Lord says, know that you have everything that you need. You say sometimes, well, Lord, if I had this, if I had that, maybe if I could do this or do that, then I would be able to do what I need to do. But the Lord says, you have everything that you need. For the Lord says, I've put my word in your mouth. And the Lord says, if you'll speak and decree what it is that I've said to you, you will see the manifestations of it come to pass. The Lord says it's also a gift of prophecy he's given you to minister and to encourage and uplift people. God says as you begin to manifest and flow in that gift, you're going to begin to see a lot of other resources begin to open up for you. God says I always bless those that walk circumspectly before me and who seek to walk in my abilities and my representation. So the Lord says, as you do, as you walk in that, you will see. I also see study coming for you. I see books. I see learning. I see knowledge. I don't know if you've been contemplating going back to school or something, but I see some learning, some education, some training taking place. And God says that's going to open up some doors for you to go further as well, says the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Amen. I receive.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
God bless you, Sharina.
Thank you.
You have an awesome evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. God bless.
Okay. Okay, your last four digits, 6511. You're live on air, Beauty Fashion. Uh-oh, I lost them. Going to the next one. Okay, the next caller, last four digits, 2631. You are live and on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm on.
Yes, ma'am. How can I help you? Who's calling and where you calling?
I want a prayer for healing.
Oh, okay. Okay. What in your body is not feeling well?
I got diabetes and my A1C level have been a little bit high.
Okay. All righty. Not having time to teach this, would you mind just repeating a prayer after me? This is a prayer that I lead people in for healing, and many of the people that I pray for, they get healed. Could I lead you in a prayer?
Yes, please.
Okay. So just say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I thank you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Was made a curse.
Has made and touched.
No, ma'am. Was made a curse.
What made a curse?
That I could be redeemed from the curse.
That I can be redeemed from the curse.
So I lift up my generational bloodline. So I lift up my generational bloodline.
I lift up my generational bloodline.
On both my mother and father's side.
From both my mother and father's side.
And I repent.
And I repent.
For every error.
For every error.
For every area.
For every area.
Where they opened up the door to sugar diabetes.
Where they opened up the door for diabetes.
And so, Lord.
If there's any wound in my soul.
As it relates to the generational iniquity.
As it relates to the generational iniquity.
Of sugar diabetes.
Said they have diabetes.
I ask that you seal those soul wounds.
I ask that you seal this soul wound.
With the glory light of Jesus Christ.
With the glory light of Jesus Christ.
I've been made excellent of soul.
I am made excellent of soul.
And I release myself now.
And I release myself now.
From every spirit of diabetes.
From every spirit of diabetes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so now I'm going to pray for you. I just want you to breathe in and out. I don't want you to pray, but I'm going to pray for you. And what's your name again, sister?
Velma Richardson.
Velma. Velma. Okay, so Father, I thank you, Lord, for Velma. And Father, you have heard the woman. So every curse, hex, incantation, false prophecy, lying spirit, word curse, every area of her body that's been attacked by the open door or even the generational iniquity of diabetes, I break it now by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I speak and decree that the healing power of Jesus Christ is flowing from the top of Velma's head to the soles of her feet. And Velma, the Lord said that my energy, my Holy Spirit is purging you right now. And right now you're feeling the heat of my power flowing through you. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And the Lord says, watch and see, within 3 days, your AC1 level will be levelized and your diabetes will be gone. So the Lord says, rejoice to know that I've healed you this day, says the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. You're welcome. Glory to God. And make sure you email me, because you're going to get a testimony. Doctors are going to confirm that you've been healed.
Amen. I will do that.
Amen. God bless you. All right, caller, your last four digits, 9124. Hello. Next caller, 0760. Hello. All right, guys. Yeah, when I come to you, you better answer. Okay, next caller, your last four digits, 1015.
Hello, Prophet. How are you?
I'm well. Who's speaking?
This is Benita, and I'm calling from Augusta, Georgia.
Is this Benita Williams?
No, Benita Garnett.
Oh, okay. I had a Benita that was, I had to get a prophecy out to tonight, and I was thinking you might be her. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
I wanted to know if this is the year that my son and I, that we will move to Jacksonville, and will it be a career change that I work in my purpose?
Okay, I hear Laura saying I want you to stay where you are for at least 5 to 7 more months. God says get everything in order. God says it's some financial stuff you need to straighten out. He wants you to, when you do leave, he wants you to leave, clear. You know, like there's nothing hanging over you. So Laura says, take these months. God says, I'm just hearing like your refund check, but if once you get that or whatever financial lump sum you're going to get, go ahead and take care of those extenuating bills. And then God says, you'll be in a perfect place for you to go ahead and move forward. But the Lord says, yes, I will go before you. I'll make the way plain. I will bless you. God says, take care of the other stuff first, though, before you leave.
Okay, awesome. That confirms exactly what I was going to do. Awesome.
Praise God. God bless you, woman of God.
Same to you.
All right, caller, last four digits, 0626.
Hey, Prophet Cal, this is Tavares.
Hey, Tavares, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to thank you for your continued support of the ministry and, and just believing, for God's continual blessing in your life. I know he's blessing you in a whole lot of ways, both spiritually and financially. But I wanted to, personally thank you for your continued support of the ministry.
No problem.
Yes, sir. So how can I bless you tonight?
Well, I wanted a prophetic word and a prayer for God to increase my spiritual gift in the area of prophetic ministry.
Amen. Okay. So I tell you what, go ahead and lay your hands on your stomach, and I'm going to activate you right now. Okay, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Tavares. Father, as your prophet, Father, you told Timothy, he was talking to Paul, put you in remembrance of the prophetic word that was given to you by the ministry of the laying on of hands. And so, Father, as Tavares lays his hands on his stomach right now, I ask that you stir up the gifts of God within him 10 times hotter. Father, I see even more revelation knowledge. I see seeing in the spiritual realm. You opening up that to him. Open that up to him now in Jesus' name. Revelation, wisdom, and knowledge. God says revelation, wisdom, and knowledge. God says I'm giving you manifestations of wisdom so that you know right from wrong and even how to counsel others. God says you're going to begin to start entering a mode of counseling. You're going to be talking people through things and sharing things with them. Revelation, God's going to give you more revelation. And then just knowledge, God's going to give you a greater clarity concerning his word. The Bible is just going to come open to you in greater dimensions. God says now is the time for you to begin to step out and challenge yourself. So, sometimes you get the word and then you're kind of like, oh, is this me? Is this God? God says administer the word first and then judge. What you're doing is, like when the spirit of prophecy comes to you, it's like while you're administering it, you're trying to judge it. You can't do that because prophecy comes out of your creative left brain. Your intellect comes out of your right brain. And both of those areas don't work well together. So when you're trying to prophesy, but you're trying to analyze, it really what happens is you dampen the anointing because the intellect is basically working contrary to what the spirit is trying to do. So what the Lord is encouraging you to do is go ahead and flow in that word, record it, write it down, or however, and then go back and judge it, you know, and then you can send it to whoever or give it to somebody. But don't judge it while you're administering it, because what's happening is it's dampening what God is trying to do. And then when the intellectual part kicks in, then the spiritual part kicks off. And it just makes it harder for you to prophesy. But the gift is in you, and you just need to now, you know, like they say, just let it rip. So you can spend some time, you know, prophesying to people, you know, friends or people that it's safe to minister to, or you can, you know, do it in a recording and then find
actually
somebody.
I did
that you
for last week for the PMP website under Prophet Kent, and he actually approved of and sent them out. So I must have did something right.
So that's your confirmation. That's your confirmation that the gift is there with you. Yeah. So, amen. But it's just like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, by reason of use, we learn to discern both good and evil. It's a practice. It's like the more we do it, the stronger your gift to get. But the gift is definitely there. And I see. Do you see very much? Like, do you see visions or?
A lot of times I've been seeing a lot in my dreams, and within a couple of days it'll happen, or a week.
Yeah. And see, that's a vision. That's more literal. You know, you see something and then later it happens exactly like that. That's a vision. That's you know, as opposed to in a dream. A dream's often symbolic and simple. But when you dream something and then it happens exactly like you saw it, that's a vision. William Branham, he used to flow like that a lot. I don't know if you studied any on William Branham, but he was a very, very prolific prophet in the 50s and 60s during the divine healing movement. It might be worth it for you to read his book.
Okay.
I think it's called A Man Sent by God. You could probably find it on Amazon used. It's a pretty cool book.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for your support. How's your wife doing?
She's doing good. She has recovered, went through her season. I remember I had told you about when she had an incident. God brought her out. She got a new car, and finances were awarded. So things are looking real good, and she's looking even forward for a different walk of life, for furthering her job and schooling. So that's where she's at, trying to move forward in that.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, if you would, please just, you know, tell her I asked about her.
Oh, yeah, I will. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, God bless you, Tavares. I love you, and thank you so much for your support.
All right. Thanks for everything, Prophet Cal.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. This is Prophet Kyle, last four digits, 9479.
Hello, Prophet Kyle. How are you?
I'm well.
Amen. God bless you. I just want to pray for the Spirit of God, pray for activation of my gifts.
Okay. Who am I speaking with?
This is Willie from Staten Island.
Staten Island. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How close are you to New Hampshire? A ways.
A little ways, yeah, but I'm not sure how far.
Not that close. Not that close. Okay. I was saying if you were going to be in the New Hampshire area at the end of the month, I would invite you out. I could lay hands on you personally. But nevertheless, we will pray now. You would lay your hands on your stomach. I'll pray and activate
you. What's the address in New Hampshire, just in case?
Well, I will put it on my website. It should be up by tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll put the next church in a contact, and it'll be on my website. If you go to the itinerary section, I'll have it all there so you can, if you can. I didn't know how close you are, because I know some parts of New Hampshire are close to New York. You could probably get on a train; it wouldn't be that big of a difference. But anyway, let me pray for you. Okay, so put your hands on your stomach. I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Willie. Father, I activate the gifts of God that are within him. Father, thank you, Lord, for even the seer gift, the anointing of prophetic ministry and divine healing. And Willie, I see the Lord in the gift of prophecy, but also in healing. God says that you're going to sense people's sicknesses even before they tell you. And God says you'll come in contact with people and you'll know their infirmities before they even share it with you, and you'll just lay hands, you'll pray over them, and they'll receive divine healing. As a matter of fact, I'm getting hot right now just praying for you, so I know God is releasing something to you. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We activate Willie into the gifts and send him forth, Lord, to minister. I thank you, Lord, as you said, a man's gift will make room for him. Bring it before great people. I thank you, Lord, that you bring it really before great people. And we stir the gifts of God up by the ministry of laying on our hands and prophecy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Prophet.
You're welcome.
I thank God for you because I've been listening for a while, and you are definitely a man of integrity. And I'm praying when God gives me to the sower, so pray that he gives me seed so I can sow into your life. You've been a blessing.
Yes, sir.
And I trust you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Willie.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to do one more tonight. Last four digits, 3522.
Hey, Perfect Guy, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Is this Louise?
Hey, yeah, it's me. How you been?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay.
All right. So what's going on?
Tomorrow, I got a job interview, so I'm looking to see if it's a job that the Lord wants me to have, and if it is, to open the doors in favor. And I did text you concerning my other situation, so it's in the Lord's hands.
Okay. Okay. Well, concerning the job, I see the Lord saying that an offer will be made. God said you're also going to get an offer from another place as well. So there'll be two different job offers. God says you'll have the right to choose which one you want to go to. But I do see them extending an offer to you tomorrow. And then there's also going to be another place. I see you interviewing really – Like towards the middle of the week, somewhere else, and God said there'll be an offer made there as well. So, you won't be out of a job for very long, and you can just choose, which one that you have more interest in.
Okay, I just want the one that the Lord wants me to have, because I want Him to have, first and everything.
Yeah, He's saying He's gonna give you a choice. You'll have the offers of two, and you can pick which one you want to. Really, in this season right now, you are probably about 3 years away from ministering, being in full-time ministry. And so much of what you're doing now is basically money to pay your bills and to sow seeds. So wherever you wind up, it's not going to be somewhere that you're going to be for over 2 or 3 years anyway, because really God is trying to mold you for full-time ministry. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever prophesied that to you.
That's what the Lord is saying.
Okay. Well, you gave me the word before that the Lord called me to be a pastor, to be into the ministry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, amen.
And
well, God bless. I'll take a look at that text later.
Okay.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Okay. I'm going to take one more. 8081, you're live and on the air.
Well, how you doing, Father Kyle? My name is James. I'm calling from Florida.
Hey, James. What's going on in Florida? What part of Florida?
Orlando.
Orlando. Okay, cool. Cool. Disneyland. Disney World.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So how can I help? Well, first of all, I
just wanted to say in terms of charging for the prophetic and stuff, I feel that the whole idea is just to be obedient to God, whatever he says. And I know that that's what you're doing. So I commend you for that.
Thank you, James.
Yeah. I'm just calling in concerns to my gifts and direction. I've been praying a lot. I've been doing a lot of fasting. And I've been fasting with a friend of mine, and we've been talking a lot. And God has been giving me ideas and things to do. But I just need some confirmation.
Okay. So, James, one thing I immediately heard as you were talking, that there's also a teaching gift within you.
Yeah.
I see you starting a ministry. I see you teaching. I see you pastoring, but there's also that prophetic mantle as well. You're going to be teaching people and bringing them into present truth on what the scripture says on a lot of different things. And you're going to be a pioneer in your area. God's going to give you some revelation concerning things that have been in the Bible, but people have not perceived and understood. And God's going to give you that revelation. And you're going to be known as a revelatory teacher. I see media ministry. I see you having a big presence, in media and things. And I see that within 5 years, your ministry is going to be world renowned. It's going to be known, and people are going to look and they're going to be like, "Where did this guy come from?" It's like he just came from nowhere. And it's not that you come from nowhere, because you've been prepared, on the side of the mountain for years. It's just now people are going to come into contact who you are. God says you're going to be invited to go minister somewhere. And initially, you're gonna kind of question it, like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to go there or not." God's gonna confirm to you. You're gonna go, and it's gonna be something that starts small, but it's gonna have major impact because there's gonna be some people that come because they're gonna hear about what's going on. And it's like, it's kind of like a revival. It's like you'll be ministering there it's gonna start out weekend, and then it's gonna go to a week, then 2 weeks. And it's going to catch fire, and then others are going to hear about it, and they're going to come, and then that's going to propel you and open up the door for you to begin to start traveling as well. I see a lot of things. I see a media ministry. I see you writing several books. Just a whole lot. You're going to be somebody that people know.
Good.
Good. Because you really, really have an anointing, a revelatory teaching gift, where you can take scripture. Yeah. You can take scriptures and then you can show prophetically where we are now, or even when you're teaching, a lot of times when you're teaching, the prophetic comes out while you're teaching, because you can be teaching on something in scripture, and then you're led by the Spirit, and that's why the Lord can use you. And so then you you get led into these things that sometimes you may think are rabbit trails, but where you're being led is a word directly for somebody that's
yes.
who you're ministering. And so it's God prophetically ministering to that person. And the other thing that I hear, you know, the Lord wants to, you know, the Lord is just thanking you and wanted me to share with you how appreciative he is for you because you're always so willing and obedient to minister what he tells you to. You know how sometimes you prepare a message and then God shifts you right in the middle of your sermon. And
right.
that's how you are. And you're willing to just shift. Because some people won't shift. They'll still stick with whatever they prepared. And then consequently, the message doesn't have the impact that it should because, you know, you weren't following the Spirit, you know. But,
well,
I see you doing a lot of it. Amen. 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 Yeah.
Well,
as a financial resource. A financial resource. I just heard the Lord say, I'm gonna deal with some debts that you have. God said this was gonna be the year that those debts are gonna get cleared out. God's gonna do some supernatural debt removal. Praise God.
Wow, I mean, you know, that you confirmed a lot of things to me. I'm glad that I
praise
gave you
God.
A call.
I'm glad you called, James. God bless you, man.
Okay, then, and I'm going to make sure I support your ministry.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Just be led by the Spirit. Praise God.
Yeah, I believe in being obedient. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So everything is a form of worship. So even our relationships is a form of worship. So.
Amen. 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 All right. Okay, well, James, thank you so much, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. And, guys, I think that somehow my mouse has gotten stuck, and I can't shut down, guys. That's weird. I got James, I got you stuck on.
You sure you don't have something else to tell me?
I don't think so. I don't think so. No, my mouse is stuck and I'm hold on just a second. Maybe if it'll It never fails. Anytime I'm doing these shows, something crazy always happens. It never fails. Trying to get my mouse. Hold on a second. That's so weird. The last one. All righty then. So crazy. going to do. So weird.